Let's join the choir in singing song number 22 in your songbooks, please. Let's stand together, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Page 22. Sing it loud and clear on the first. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine.
Wonderful joy to hear not only our church choir, but the college choir start the service off tonight. And my heart rejoiced to see both sides here filled and then to hear them sing together. And then, of course, to sing with you, the mighty North Valley Church Choir, really. And this place filled with God's praise, and to God be the glory. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Trust you've had a wonderful afternoon. We're rejoicing over a wonderful service this morning. Powerful message from Pastor and from Colossians chapter 4 on prayer. And my heart was so convicted. I don't know how many times this week, early in the morning, said, Lord, my mind wandered in my prayer time. Forgive me. or I think I started to doze off. I'm not sure. But that was such a tremendous message this morning, Pastor. We thank the Lord for you. We're looking forward to a great service tonight. Many guests are here. We thank the Lord for you coming in early for the graduation ceremony this coming Wednesday night. And I finally got to meet Pastor and Mrs. Leonard here from Pennsylvania, some of our alumnus. We thank the Lord for you. And a few rows in front of you, of course, Caleb Martell's family, and also from Pennsylvania. And we thank the Lord. I guess this is the Pennsylvania section over here. And we thank the Lord for each one of you. Brother Nikolai, your son, we thank God for your family and praying for your wife. And what a joy it is to have you all here this evening. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together tonight. Father, we thank the Lord for your greatness tonight. We want to praise you all the day long. And God, I pray your touch upon this service. We need you. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth tonight. And so move mightily in our midst. May Christ be exalted this evening with everything that takes place. And then, Father, as we come to your word, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. Have your will and way in every one of our lives. And we'll be careful to give you the glory for it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing.
Have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place? Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm.
The singers are tired, the church has
sing its far.
Some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on.
'Cause if just one more soul were to walk
is King.
The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul.
Before Brother Romero leaves, the choir just recognized him downstairs. Brother Dan Woodman recognized him 10 years ago today. He became our choir and orchestra leader. Give him a big hand, will you? And God bless the choirs. I tell you what. This is, Brother Romero, this is going to be once a month. This fall, we're just going to put them all together, and we'll get the high school choir and the children's choirs and the bell choirs. It's wonderful. This spring, every spring, we have a huge recital for the piano students of the Golden State Baptist College on Friday night. We're moving it to Saturday night next spring, and it's a big musical is what it is. There'll be choirs and quartets and trios and pianos, and we have other pianos we bring in here. And it's just going to be wonderful. And this is not the entire college, but this, your girls are so sweet, and God bless them. You know, where could you go to look at young ladies at our Proverbs 31 like this? And we're proud of you. And I wrote a letter in the bulletin today how grateful we are for you and the young ladies that have merged into our church this year. You've been such a blessing. And church, you've loved them. And you young men, God bless you.
Amen.
I'm hearing that they're going all over the world this summer to serve on mission fields and all throughout the United States. And we have a freshman, sophomore, juniors have re-enrolled. If you can get a small number, that's great. We're at 96.9 have re-enrolled for college next year. Amen. That says there's something going on here. And I'm just so proud of the college students. They're last night. Now, some will be with us this summer, and they'll be in and out. Graduation on Wednesday night. Brother Martinez, I hate to have the choirs leave us, but you freshmen normally sit here and here. tonight. You can go sit wherever you want if you'd like to. Merge in the auditorium. Just don't sit in the top row of the balcony and hold hands with your girlfriend this evening, all right? That'd be fine. What are we singing, Brother Martinez? Thank you, choirs. Give them all a big hand, will you, please?
Thank you, choir. Song number 65 in your songbooks, please. Page 65, the Comforter has come. Page 65. Oh, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like with a countless choir? How about the first song now?
Oh, spread the tidings round.
Closer walk with thee. Oh, we're having a good time tonight in church. Sing on, God's people, 546. Lift it up now on the first.
Ah, and we pray.
disciples were afraid, for the waves were high and the ship was tossed. They could not find their way. Then they awoke the master, saying, "Lord, please save us now." He rebuked the winds and the sea grew calm, and they all wondered how. God sees the storm from the other side. He knows the lessons learned, and just beyond the clouds he sees clear skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm when peace could not be found. He already sees a rainbow when we see only clouds.
Like the man upon the sea did, I have called on God in prayer. When it seemed to me all hope was gone and I was in
skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm when peace could not be found. He already sees a rainbow when we see only clouds. And when the storms of life come crashing in and trouble me, I can feel God's arms around me. Skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm when peace could not be found. He already sees a rainbow when we see only clouds. He already sees a rainbow when we see.
Nothing in return, the kind you give, and don't think twice. One love, never holding one thing back. Such love.
love that she would give the best she had. What love from a precious little baby to a man of 33. Down through the years they watched him grow. From a little town called Bethlehem onto Calvary. Up that lonely hill they watched him go. What he felt inside his broken heart, God only knows. But the hammer struck and the vessel broke, became the precious crimson glow. What love, love that has no price, asking nothing in return, the kind you give and don't think twice. What love that he would give the best he had. What love, never holding one thing back. Such love that we would give the best we had. What
so much for those specials, and we have a great church because we have great music, and we have been blessed in that department. Not only has God given us talented people, but also because of the dedicated hard work of those individuals who learn instruments and who practice and to prepare all of the wonderful music that we get to enjoy. And that's one of the reasons that North Valley Baptist Church is great, because of our great music. Do not get used to it. It is time when there's good music to say amen, to get involved, to raise a hand, to tap a toe, to give a shout. Do something that says, hey, we like this around here. This is some good stuff going on. And we have been blessed with music. Ushers, if we can get the bulletins out, please, if you would. And raise your hand if we missed you with a bulletin. I do want to make several announcements as we look forward to the calendar. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. And it is our job to, as a church family, as well as individuals in our family as well, to make a big deal about mothers. And this is one of the highlights of the year, definitely. At least that's what my wife tells me anyway. And so it is going to be the greatest day. And so please let us make sure that we remember that next coming Sunday. Also, this Wednesday is our GSBC commencement exercises. And so we're very, very much looking forward to this and all of the work that our students have put into it as well. Not only for our seniors that are going to graduate and walk in the 4 years that they prepared, and some of them more than 4 years, but they're going to walk and just receive their diploma. And so we're looking forward to that. And there will be different co-workers here and family as well. And so let's make sure that we're here as well supporting our students. And as they get thrust into the ministry, not only our seniors, but also our current students as well, as they literally travel the globe and minister in other areas this coming summer. And so we're looking forward to that. I do want to also mention this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock in our faithfulness rally upstairs in the second floor of the Commons. We just want to have a wonderful time together every single week. We've actually been going through the past several weeks on why the bus ministry. In the year 2024, why do we have a bus ministry? And we've been going through it and kind of focusing several of the different emphases of the bus ministry and why our church is that. And by the way, the bus ministry is still relevant, by the way, and it still works and it's still good and it's still something that we want to do to reach people with the gospel. But this week, we're taking a small break from that. And Brother Andrew Reimers is going to talk to us about why the Sunday school. And so we're looking forward to that this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock. And also, also, very, very soon, you will receive some announcements about a brand new ministry that we are starting. Primarily, it is to help our bus ministry, and I'm very excited about it. I have really been talking everybody's ear off that would listen to me about this new ministry. It is going to be something that literally hundreds upon hundreds of us are going to want to be involved in. It's going to be very specific, it's going to be very detailed, and it's going to be a tremendous help not only to you, but also as we get the gospel to our area. And so that'll be upcoming very, very soon. I want to make sure that we will notify the proper people as well, and all of our bus captains and our bus workers as well. On the back of your bulletin, number 6, our men's summer softball. Men of the church, you will be receiving an email from me, and hopefully will not go to all of the entire world this time. But we are looking forward to that. So you'll receive some additional information about our men's summer softball league and the location and the times and exactly how to register. And so that'll be the time to click the link to register, to commit and say, this is something that we're looking forward to. I was talking to somebody today, this afternoon, and basically I'm telling him not to register. He's going to be my secret pick that just is on my team, and he won't even be a part of the draft. So we'll have him register. So it's okay, and we'll get everybody involved in there for the men's summer softball this coming summer. It starts the first week of June, so we're looking forward to that, men of the church.
Amen. This last Friday night, we had our school play, and our students did such an incredible job. If you had the opportunity to attend it, they were perfect in every area, and we are so blessed. I just wanted to say thank you to our church family for supporting North Valley Baptist Schools, for coming out. So many kind and encouraging words from you to our young people, to those who were involved in the play, and I just want to say thank you so much for that. This week is National Teacher Appreciation Week, and I hope you feel the same way I do. We are so blessed to have the teachers that we do, not just in the elementary, middle school, and high school, but also at Golden State Baptist College. And we are blessed to have these people who literally have given their lives to invest in our young people. And I hope that you will do your part in remembering them and making it a very special week as we show our appreciation to them.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm so thankful for God's people. And what Brother Flood mentioned, let's never get accustomed to all the things that God does for us.
Amen.
I was at the convention center on Friday night for that play, and it's just every year that way. It's just over the top. People that work at the convention center, we had a lot of folks from the area come, said we've never seen anything like it. The singing, the specials, the acting, the set, it was just amazing. And don't get accustomed to seeing all these precious girls and all these young men in that choir. And that choir is, we're down tonight in the choir, but it's always 100, 125 voices, orchestra. And we're just such a blessed people. And I know you believe that. Parents, you'd be very wise to keep your kids in school. Our school could be making a bundle of money. I mean, people here will pay anything. Not the highest priced school, but they just announced they're going up to $30,000 per kid, per child, per student. That's not the highest ones. There's some that are higher than that in this valley. I know one that's about $50,000. And we are open only to our church. We get, the principal can tell, we get call after call, say, let us in. Well, you got to be a saved, baptized. They'll show up here, and they say, we're in church now. We're in. And they say, well, you got to be saved. Okay, I'll do that. How do I do it? I'll get baptized too. Well, is that what you want? That's not what we're looking for. You are blessed. And enjoy it all. Basketball season was so incredible this year. Baseball season, soccer season, volleyball, cheerleading, everything. The Christmas musicals, the plays, and college, I'm going to miss you, college students. Please stay in touch with me this summer and pray for the tour groups. We have two leaving out on Thursday, and then we have another one leaving out in a few days after that. And we're very grateful for the college. Wednesday night, we owe it to this student body to be here. This is the class that I call the COVID class. They were not allowed. I mean, think of this, freshmen all excited. pack their goods, get their plane tickets, get their cars, get here to college from around the globe. And then we tell them our county will not allow us to have school again the third semester. You cannot come. They began school online, would teach to empty rooms and big screens and watch our students around the country. This class is special. And I hope that you'll believe that as well. We'll prepare for the offering, but before we do, fellas, we're going to sing one song. I'm down here watching. You know, we just started having the guitars. We're kind of down tonight. I think you guys are normally over there a couple rows. So I'm watching Chiago down here, and Chiago and his wife, Natalia, and baby Cindy, and baby, the second baby coming. They're just a gift to us. They got saved on Easter 7 years ago. Sought asylum in the country. I won't say the country, we're online. But in that country, you can kill someone and pay him off, and you don't go to prison. He watched family members, and they were hunting him down. And he escaped and met Natalia here. They got married and got saved. And just watching you play just thrills my heart. Thomas just got here this year. They said, we want to be in this church. They live in the Philippines and had no job, no car. And he was the Toyota employee of the in the mechanic field, get the big belt, you know, of the month last month. Just got it. We're proud of you.
Amen.
And then Raymond, I see down here 2 years ago at Thanksgiving, he got saved. Raymond's book is out. It's amazing to watch. He's a great soul winner. Became an alcoholic in second grade. Drug addict. A big rock and roll. He set the bands up for the big bands in the Coliseums that came. And it's like the Apostle Paul watching you. Just, he's in this thing. Men's prayer. Brian was, I can use the word famous. He was a writer. He was a contemporary music director, jammer, the whole nine yards. And look what God did. And he's left that whole movement. And we love these men so much. And there's just some. You know, we sang this morning. I don't know if we've ever sung before on Sunday morning, page 93. And you can turn there, Just One More Soul. And then tonight the choir sang it. Chiago's not a soloist, I don't think. Are you? But I had him sing it in men's prayer a few weeks ago. And it got on. Brother Mofi, get the trumpets down here. And orchestra's 93. Are you ready to sing? This is it. Who knows? You might get a bus and go on the road, brother. I've got the words right here, Brother Chiago. The value of one. And if you want to, yeah, it'd be good. And I said to him a while ago, I said, I'll have you sing. He goes, okay, I'll shave. He didn't shave because he didn't know he was singing, but that's okay. We sure love this man and his precious wife. Your baby Cindy is watching there. And we'll have you sing it, okay?
Could it be that up in heaven, God is sitting on his throne, anticipating another sinner will soon become his own. Years of wasted living and years of soil and strife are just about to be over as he receives the gifts of life. Go sound the horn, strike out the rock. Save it from the fire, no more in darkness. He's received my son. All heaven rejoices. That's the value of one. The Holy Spirit has been working to soften up my heart. All he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven the joy that'll be that day? As a sinner bow his head to pray, can't you hear the Father say, go sound the horn, strike out the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. Start construction on his mansion, that on hallelujah street. He doesn't know where why he's waiting, when the Savior you meet, will meet. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one.
Praise God. Amen. I love that, man. You go ahead. Let's give him a hand. That's okay. I know we normally don't do that. That's okay. You know, the thing about it is he means every bit of that. And he loves being in America. He's a hard worker. His wife's a hard worker. They're family to us. And I'm so proud of you. God bless you. He does sing, doesn't he? It's not bad. Just think, if you would join the Jack Treber voice lessons. Man, I wish I could sing like that. That is wonderful. Pastor Leonard, you and your wife, we're so glad you're here. Graduate of ours, Pennsylvania. And I'm so thankful for you. Dave and Cherise Webster, that's his sister and brother-in-law. So we're thankful you. The Suttmeyers, our missionaries, we're so thankful. Both your girls now will be graduates of our college serving God. From Mexico, we're proud you're here. Pastor and Mrs. Santiago, right back there. Would you raise your hand? Right there you are. I need to just see you afterwards. From Panama. And you have one daughter graduate, one more on Wednesday. You're wonderful people. God bless you. You know, I don't ever want to become your student's pastor. We try to always push them back to dad and back to their pastors, back to mothers. But you've allowed me, all of you allowed me to have so much influence on your kids. And I'm so very grateful. Let's have the ushers come, if you will, tonight. And as we approach summer, by the way, it will be in the bulletin. In the summertime, and that begins next week for us, not every Sunday night, but many. It won't have one next Sunday night, but the following. We have hot dog fellowships. And they're blessed, so they're healthy, they're good, they're nourishing for you. And we'll have one thing after another all summer. And barbecues, and you name it, it'll be great. Let's be found faithful in giving. Brother Reimers, come and lead us in prayer for the offering tonight, please.
Lord, we're so grateful that we've been here tonight and what we've heard and what we've been able to participate in and see and sing. And God, you've been so good to us. God, you've blessed us here. And Lord, I pray that we'd never take it for granted. And God, I pray that tonight we be found faithful to give back to you what is already yours. What, God, we owe you. But God, we can give it not just out of owing it. Tonight we can give it out of a heart of gratitude and a heart of love. Amen. because you've done so much for us. And God, I pray that we be found faithful and liberal in our giving, that God, our church can continue to go forward in these days to reach more people. We heard the song, The Value of One, and God, our finances are what prepare and allow this church to go out and reach more people. And I pray that, God, you'd help us tonight to give faithfully. Use the offering as our prayer and then the preaching to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please. Base number 399, Wiggle Worms. Children, get ready to be dismissed as we sing the first verse of 399. Thank you so much, children. You all get ready now as we sing the first verse. He still speaks on the verse. Lift it up now. Amidst the hustling, clamoring world, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of God speaking to my soul. But in my quiet time alone, as I approach His holy throne, His tender words fall gently on my ears. He still speaks. I know.
And to clean give my life to you. Take control each day. I will follow anywhere, near or far away. Lord, I want your perfect will. Be my faithful guide. I will never be afraid. You are close beside. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me. Let me see my mission field all around each day. Fill my heart with Jesus' love. Use me, Lord, I pray. Here am I, Lord, send me. My Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord. Send me.
Thank you. We'll let the instrumentals come and orchestra come and join you. It's all so refreshing to come to God's house. I can't imagine laying out of God's house. I want more church, not less church. And I thank God for you tonight, hearing you sing and all your faithfulness. Two of you ladies are here tonight. Just saw Holly, going to be married this week, and we're proud of you, thankful for you. And Jane getting married this week on Saturday as well, both girls on Saturday, two different weddings, and congratulations. And Isaac Post, good to have you and Emma back home. I miss you. They're up in Idaho now, and thank God for you. Visitors that are here up on the balcony on the lower floor, and our friends that are watching. God's been so good to our church, and good things are happening. And whenever you go forward, there's always resistance, there's always friction. But God's been good to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to look at one verse with you tonight. We're not in a series. We are on Sunday morning. We have been on Wednesday night, and we'll deviate from that series this Wednesday night with graduation. Graduation begins right promptly at 6:30, so please be right in your spot. And let's be here so when young people come in that you're here to see them. It's a big, big event. Graduations normally are very long services in America. Ours are not that long, but they'll be a great, great blessing. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I love you, and I love these people so much. I'm so grateful for them. I'm thankful for their testimony, how they love you. They read your Bible. They pray. They're trying to be good people, young people that obey, children that obey, college students that are training. We thank you for the men and women in this auditorium. We thank you for parents. Thank you for senior saints. Thank you tonight for the Spanish ministry at the other property. And as they have such a large crowd there tonight, in the service and a full choir, all that's happening there, I pray your blessing upon Brother Sloan as he preaches tonight. Empower him. Use him. May we hear of great things that are happening in the Spanish ministry tonight. Bless the children's ministries tonight, the nurseries, the internet, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming to you on a subject. As soon as I say the word, half the crowd's going to say it doesn't pertain to me, but it pertains to everyone. I'm coming to you tonight on the subject of masculinity. And don't worry, I'm not going to make fun of people. But we live in a toxic society when it comes to masculinity. We're losing it fast. And when you lose the male leadership of a country, you destroy the country. The Bible still says that the husband, husband, two words, H-U-S, house, band. It's a Latin word. You band the house together. Men, you have a responsibility. You are responsible for the spiritual condition of your home, the financial condition of your home, the spirit, the academics of your home. You're responsible for everything. The emotional environment of your home. Is your family, do they laugh together? I hope they do. I hope there's bicycle rides this summer. I hope there's baseball together. Say there's only four of us. We'll play baseball with the four of you. And play basketball. Just don't do crochet. I mean, come on, fellas. But this is the summer. This is the time. I mean, invest in your family. You say, well, they're all gone. Well, if you have just the two of you, and we invest in it every night. I will tell you this, that we get in the car every night and take a 10, 15, 20 minute ride. So it's easier for you. The church pays you gas. They do. And our business manager knows this is true. I pay it at the end of the month. I use the credit card for the church at the end of the month. And I've never said it before. I pay everything. At the point in my life, I don't want, for the last many years, I don't want to be a drain on this church. You've done so much for us. And if we're just, you're overboard. But I love that time with my wife every night. We just drive. We found downtown Santa Clara to be so peaceful. Going up and down those houses that were built in 1880 and 1890 and 1900. And we're always looking for somebody to rent a house. We're looking for houses every night for different people. We've been out on the hunt every night looking, talking to people. I love it. And I want to say something. Masculinity is gone in America. Where are you going to get it? The NBA? I don't know the ball player because I don't know their names, but I know he's about the biggest name in the NBA, and he's so proud because his elementary child, he said he wants to be a girl, so we buy him dresses and we're dressing him up, and we're thinking about doing all these different medicines to help him. That's where you're going to get your masculinity role model, from the NBA or from the football, NFL, or from Hollywood? Is that where you're going to get your masculinity? Masculinity is the Bible. Amen. And I want to see it tonight, because unless you ladies are in this thing, we'll not see masculine boys and men. boyhood is simply the prelude to manhood. And if you don't get boyhood right, you won't get manhood right. Girls, you sisters, don't boss your little brother around. Don't boss your older brother around. Learn to build his character. Learn to build him into something. You ladies, don't be nagging that little guy. And don't be nitpicking at that guy. And dads, don't be, shake his hand. I go all across the country and I preach and I feel so embarrassed for some little boys. Little four-year-old boy, look him in the eye, shake his hand. I feel like saying, hey man, let me get down on his lap level and slap me five. This stuff, nah, we gotta be a man. That's not how you train manhood. I wonder where you would go in America to learn manhood. Our bookstore, where there's a disclaimer on it because it doesn't use the King James Bible, but this book is in the bookstore. It's written by Mr. Truett Cathy. He's passed away. He was a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church for 50 years. His business says closed on Sunday, and it's Chick-fil-A. And Mr. Cathy wrote this book, It's Better to Build Men Than to Mend Boys. Children all around us are growing up without strong, positive guidance from their parents who are busy. They're distracted. They're absent. Or they choose to be buddies instead of parents to their children. You see them in your neighborhood, your classroom, your troop, your team, your family. These children cannot build themselves into responsible adults. They cannot teach themselves respect, trust, generosity, or common sense. Ms. Treeball tells me common sense is not common. They need you to be available to talk, to be a friend. They need firm instruction. They need honest encouragement and reminded of their strengths and opportunities. There's no magic words. All you can do is share a bit of yourself and allow God to use you to plant seed in a child and to pray it takes root. It's better to build boys than to men. He was a Sunday school teacher for nearly 50 years, and he's worked in all these capacities. In this book, I'm not necessarily promoting you have to read it, but it is a good book, and I've read it years ago. If children model for respect and authority, let me read this. If children have no respect for authority, these kids that are invading the Ivy League schools and the state universities, and they're organized, it's proven now that they've been in training for months how to overtake these schools. And we're trying to, brother, we're trying to organize and work with them. What are your wants? And then we wonder why the jails you go into are so full. We have failed this generation. Lawlessness is breaking the law. And lawlessness has consequences. If children have no respect for authority, no amount of punishment is going to change them. One of the best ways to teach children to respect authority is to model our own adherence to the chain of command. Do you obey commands? Are you always negative about work and about people and about authority, about the police and about the first ones you call when you have a problem, it's the police. Adults can do this by worshiping and respecting God and obeying the rules from God. It amazes me how many people that are even Christians cheat on their income tax, lie to a police officer who stops them for speeding, or takes advantage of the clerk who gives them too much change in clear view of their children. It saddens me how many families no longer worship God together and show disrespect for ultimate authority. We live in a day where masculinity is gone. And tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul is writing to this church at Corinth. They had a lot of problems. There was immorality in the church. There was drunkenness in the church. There was incest in the church. They were suing one another at the church. There was disunity in church. The Bible says they were, I wanted to speak unto you as spiritual, but you're carnal. They were fleshly in the church. They were out of bounds. By the way, the rebuke of chapter of 1 Corinthians, it changes in 2 Corinthians. They got right. But in 1 Corinthians, he's coming to the end and he's talking about money. And then he says in verse chapter 16, and I want you to read it with me, verse 13. Ready? Begin. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Quit does not mean throw in the towel. The word quit ye like men, it means simply this. To quit is not to resign. Now, sometimes we use that word, I quit my job, I understand that. But the word quit in this text is to act like a man. It's literally what it meant. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit, act like a man. Quit you like men, act like a man, become a man. Manliness, those are all the words that are referred to this. Today's adult males are generally soft. They're sweet little guys. They're tender. They're offended. I have never in my life seen and watched more men and boys get offended. Men don't do that. Get over it. We get offended on, not here in our school, thank God. But schools, you play them a ball, they get offended because they got a foul. That's part of the game. That's part of life. When I'm offended, nobody, you know, we're so soft. And because we're soft, we're not masculine. I would not consider Shakespeare the greatest masculine image. But Shakespeare described manliness like this. Shakespeare said manliness is to be true. It's to be patriotic. It's to be unselfish. It's to be gentleness. He got it right. Success is not manliness. We are on the push to make our kids successful. That is not manliness. Talent is not manliness. Genius is not manliness. Power is not manliness. But manliness is developed by word, by example. The Apostle Paul said none of these things move. He was a manly man. And tonight I want to spend these few moments. Look at chapter number 16. Watch ye, stand fast, quit you like men, be strong. Tonight I bring to your attention this great thought of acting or behaving like a man. The Bible says that it first is to act like a man, be a man, and then it becomes a habit, a way of life. Gideon, though he was hiding, became a man. He stepped to the plate. And Moses became a man. And Elijah became a man. And Moses became a man. And all these people, they went through adversity. John Mark became a man. In my boyhood, I saw men. In my boyhood, just right post-World War II, I saw those men, and they were in America, and they had been fighting for 5 years, World War II. And they came home. And as they came home, the churches, while they were gone, were growing. The 10 largest churches in America were exploding. Akron Baptist Temple, Canton Baptist Temple, in Dallas, churches all over that Dallas region were in Houston and in Mississippi and Arkansas and the South and Tennessee and in Chattanooga, all throughout the day, Chicago, they were exploding. And then they came on the scene and got jobs. And all over this country, you've heard me say it before, they were building World War II houses everywhere. I could take you all over this area and show you the World War II houses. They're everywhere. They're all over the country. And tonight, I had the joy of being raised by a man. My pastor was a man. The deacons were men. The men in our boys' brigade, like we have the Patch the Pirate, the boys' brigade were men that taught me. The men that they overcame adversity. And so today I want to talk to you about this subject. And girls, you don't influence your brother to play with dolls. But you know what manliness is? Manliness, if you're a man, dad, you can play dolls with your little girls. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. But make sure you're a man. Quit you like men. Quit you like men. Act like a man. I knew I was going to preach this subject, and about 2 weeks ago, God just turned me around. I was in my study, and I have a beautiful study of many books. And my pastor gave me a book, and I've never really read it. It's just been on my shelf. And it was called One Word, written in 1890, Manliness. And I was all ready to go. And I began, Brother Manly, to read through that. Manliness, actually 1889, my grandfather would have been 2 years old. In my book, it says manliness is sincerity, it's honesty, it's integrity, it's genuine, it's real, it's worker, it's thrift, it's discipline, it's responsibility. My list is not as long as that, but my list of manliness is courage. Stop giving up. Don't give up. It's sad when a woman has more courage than her husband. Sad when children see a dad without courage. I really truly see tonight in the scriptures, and we'll see it. Courage is manliness and conviction. What's your conviction? I would not tolerate being in a church that did not keep their doors open on Sunday night. But I'm finding all over America, people are thronging to those churches, flocking to them. Do you realize your church is closed on Sunday night? You say, well, where in the Bible does it say? Oh, a man said that to me in 1977. Pastor, you're always talking, where does it say this? I said, you want to do it the Bible way? The Bible says that daily. So we can either do it the Bible way, or we can do it the Trevor way, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And here's the problem. Our churches used to be open on Sunday night. And America is on the last brink before total destruction. We are on the brink. And this is what your kids and grandkids are going to get unless we get back at this. The church is the preserver of life. I wonder what would have happened, Brother Brian, on that Sunday night, 1956, in that building, had my pastor said, okay, the new thing in our church, no Sunday night. Because then that night I was sitting on a green wooden chair next to my father. I was on the aisle. Then my dad, then my mother, and then my two sisters. I wish I could remember the song, sometimes the invitation song. I think that was the song. We had no electricity in that building. We had lanterns. That night, I'll never forget, the pastor preached. I have no idea what he preached, but the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart. And Brother Ox and I didn't remember saying no the first stanza. Standing next to my dad, no the second, about the third, I walked out in that aisle. Brother Donald, I don't know about how this all works, but I think I was getting saved right there. I was putting my faith, and I was so scared to death, but I started walking down that aisle, and I came to Pastor Smith, and I said, Pastor, I want to get saved. And he said, Viva Morningstar, come here, lead Jack to Christ. And that night, Viva Morningstar, hey, I'm glad a church was open on Sunday night. My twin sister, perhaps she's watching right now in Florida, God bless her. And she said to me a few years back, I was preaching at her husband's church, Jack, remember my salvation? I said, I don't. She said, I got home from church. You got saved that night. And I told Mother, I want to get saved. She goes, you want to do that because Jack just did it. And she said, no, I want to get saved. My twin, we got saved the same night. I tell you what I've got some conviction. You can do whatever you want after my decease and after I go to be with the Lord. And I tell you what, I'm going to put the Trevor Hex on you. I'll tell you that right now. If you close this church on Sunday night, I'm asking God to throw lightning bolts down on you. At your house as well. If you bring contemporary music in, this what you saw tonight, this church was not built on rock and roll and contemporary music and easy believism. It's old time. I love that old time way. And it's going to stay that way. I believe masculinity is courage and it's conviction and it's compassion. You're singing, here am I, Lord, send me. That just moved my heart so much. And I kept thinking of those little elementary choir kids in elementary chapel every Wednesday. We'll sing that. We'll just keep raising the pitch. And you've heard it so many times. And Brother Martinez, here am I, Lord, send me. I can't hear the kids sing that without weeping. I saw that little couple here holding hands and singing a duet tonight. I saw all those girls and remember almost every one of them when they got born here. And I tell you what, it's working, ladies and gentlemen. Something's working. Your kids in the house of God and your families, it's working. Don't mess this thing up. I'm dead and gone. Keep the church open. Keep preaching going. Keep the Sundays going. Keep the buses rolling. Keep old time running. Keep a choir. Manliness is a can-do spirit. I was reading a book not long ago from the 1900s. A preacher said this, boyhood should be the stepping stone to manhood. Boyhood should be the stepping stone. Dad, you have so much. I never remember my dad sitting me down and teaching, say this, 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 but I remember his example. I would hope my wife could say, I've been kind to her. If I am, I watched a dad, the most wonderful man in all the world, be kind to my mother. Mother's Day is coming, and they say one of the greatest gifts you can give to your children is a love for their mother. Your kids see that you love your wife. Your kids see that you love the home. I am absolutely not against these sports and golf, and you can golf. But I tell you what, when you have kids, and my wife knows this to be true, I've never done one sport in my life when they were growing up unless it was with them. I'm not going to spend 2, 3, 4, 5 hours away from my kid spending 30, 40, 50, I don't know how much it costs to golf, and spending that kind of money on myself and then not be with my children. We've now had Tiffany, our daughter, will be married in February. I know it's a year away almost, but she'll be married 25 years. She's been out of our home 25 years. We had her just a window. We had Tabitha just a window. She's been out. She's been married 20 years this year. Tim's been married this month 15. They've been out of our home so long. And he had college before that. They've been gone. We had them shorter time than they've been out of our home. And if they're going to learn something, they're going to have to learn it now. They're going to have to learn how to be little ladies. I said this to someone this week, and I've got this video. And I believe I told the church a while back, so just bear with me, maybe not. Our son Tim, he had some basketball shorts on. All you could see was from his knees on down to his feet. So you hear his voice, but you didn't know, you know, who it was. And he's sitting there in this chair. And his little four-year-old girl, three at the time, was rubbing his legs with lotion from his knees on down. Her sister, who was about 7, is over against the window over there with her back toward all this. And the little girl says, Dad, when are you going to do me? And the little girl laking over by the window says, it doesn't work that way. We do it because we love them, not because what they're going to do for us. And he said, he heard Tim's voice, tell her again how it works, Lakin. Tell her again how it works. It doesn't work that way. You know, today, friends, your little girls are going to mirror you. Your little boys are going to mirror you. Put everything you can. Miss a meal as you pray for them. Tonight I look at this thing about masculinity. And with masculinity, we've had examples. Those men came back from World War II, and then I was a boy. They went back over to Korea for the Korean conflict. And the men got out, and please hear me. You know, if you're my age or older, you know this is the way it was. These men came back. There was no sick leave. You either went to work or didn't get paid. There wasn't sick leave. And I'm glad we have sick leave. Not had to use it in all these years I've been here, but who knows, maybe you have to one of these days. I'm glad there's sick leave. That's not the way it was. You didn't work, you didn't get paid. You know, there wasn't any HR department. I'm here. I'm a little bit bothered. My guy, what's a man going to HR for? I don't understand that business. These men were sick. They got out of bed and worked. They lost a job. They went hunting for a job till they found a job. I heard Dr. Ray Young years ago mention my dad was a builder. His dad was about my dad's age. He said, my dad was a builder, and they would get laid off regularly. And he said, okay, if I work an eight-hour day, that's what I got laid off today. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm spending 8 hours looking for a job. And he always came home the next day, and he started the next day after that, so I got a job. These men transferred to their son how to mow a lawn, how to cut a lawn, how to wash a car, how to trim bushes, how to shine shoes, how to work. He said, well, we live in an apartment. Good, bring them down here. And don't say, here they are, Pastor. They're ready to work. You work with them, Dad. You get a broom out here. You get a rake out here. You do something around here and show them how to say, that island out there is our island this summer. We're going to go there. There's four weeds come up. We're pulling the weeds out. Getting quiet in here now.